original packaging idea for Python 3, which was the, I think, the packaging package?
Yeah.
That was from one perspective, and that was shot down as soon as it hit actual users, I think.
Well, and also there was no transition plan.
Well.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the thing of it is a hard, multifaceted problem. And so the thing for me is from a distro packaging point of view, while that was my motivation to finally get involved because it's broken from a distro perspective, it is then the case though that if I was just trying to solve it from a distro perspective, Windows wouldn't be the bane of my existence. Because I have spent far more time getting this stuff to work on Windows than I have getting it to work on Linux, because in Linux it mostly just works. Although that said, we have not solved the cross-distro binary problem on Linux yet, because A, it's a much, much harder problem than Windows.
You don't need binaries on Linux, though.
Hey?
You mostly don't need binaries on Linux.
Yeah, well, so. Wait. So this is why we haven't solved it yet. Number one.
Are we going to launch in another half hour of this?
unless this is officially labeled as
the packaging and distribution
summit. So this is the reason why I asked for permission to fix it last year, because this is ridiculously complicated stuff. And it is just a massive prioritization problem of if you try to fix everything at once, you will end up fixing nothing. And so things like the Linux distro binary problem, the reason we postponed it and we were able to postpone it is that it's A, really hard. It is much harder than the Windows and Mac OS X situation. B, it's less of a problem because Linux people are far more likely to be able to build C and C++ extensions. And then C, that is actually the core of the problem Conda solves, is that if you want to do prepackaged cross-distro Linux pre-built binaries, it's just like, just use Conda. It's like, that is what Conda is there to do. That is the problem that Travis wanted to solve, and he solved it.
So we probably don't want to spend any more time talking about packaging.
Yeah.
Your stuff on documentation, particularly changing some of our workflows and tools around documentation, I don't think we've got time to do that justice before lunch.
Yeah, that would.
You set up a sprint.
Really?
The main thing
I want to get across for this is that these are not problems that we are going to be working on these problems for years to come. It's like these are not problems anyone has solved well. A lot of the upstream language specific communities just don't talk to the distros, and so they go, we don't care about the distros, and then they come up with solutions that the distros can't use and just get into a fight. But then at the same time, distros are sitting there and we're going, oh, well, we only care about our little corner of the world, and come up with solutions that, well, they don't work on Windows, they don't work on Mac OS X, and so there's no way for Windows users to get started.
The word distro means Linux distro, right?
Usually.
There is nothing else that also talks about distro.
Well,
so effectively, Enthought is a distro,
BSD, and so on. Under the same umbrella.
Well,
but they don't call themselves distros. They consider, because
Linux
kind of carved out this area and created the distro concept, but they're similar enough that when you're solving a problem for Linux distros, you're also solving the problem for
from my perspective, other things that count as distros would be the stuff Continuum Analytics do, the stuff Enthought do.
I have no idea what Continuum Analytics does, except that Fernando Perez is very praiseful of it.
So basically, the core functionality that a distro provides.
But a distro does not include either Windows or OS X. That is
not
the point
I'm
trying to
make. Not in the base, but for instance, on macOS, you've got Brew, which is definitely a distro because it handles all the packages for you.
The cool thing a distro does for you.
I just heard that Brew was bad for you.
Just a sec, guys.
Let me define what a distro means to me. A distro to me is a pre-integrated set of binaries. It is somebody has taken the responsibility to say, we are going to build a bunch of stuff and make sure it all plays well together. In the Python space, the ones that do that thing is the Linux distros do it for Linux. So Fedora, SUSE, Debian, Ubuntu, all that sort of stuff. They're the Linux distros. on Mac OS X, you have things like MacPorts, you have things like Homebrew. There is a third one that the name is
Fink.
Fink, thank you.
And so,
and so those
Apple does is just doesn't count at all.
Apple is not a distro from this point of view because they don't do a pre-integrated set of binaries.
They're trying
they
to get their own app store together for OS X
yeah.
now.
Well, they provide Python, but they don't provide any other libraries with Python.
So
you
that's
can't
not
install.
True.
Python.
Well,
it's there's system library frameworks, Python.framework, blah, extras. And there's a huge number of libraries.
Okay. So maybe Apple is a distro from that perspective. But
and it's actually, and this is a major issue, is that the fact that Apple ships set up tools 4.6 C12 means that every attempt to bootstrap a working Python environment requires like weird little workarounds. And this is something that I think actually has been done before.
Are you guys complaining about REPL?
And then on the Windows world, you have Nthought with Canopy and...
That's cross-platform again.
Yeah. Well, okay. But I guess from that point of view, it's the thing of, yes, it's cross-platform, but once you get to Windows is the point where if you want this kind of stuff on Windows, you basically have to go to Nthought or ActiveState or Continuum Analytics now. Which one's
Sigwin.
That? Oh yeah, and then Sigwin's kind of that blurry line between.
Bunch of crap.
Actually, I think Red Hat officially maintains Sigwin now.
Yeah.
But the users, of course, don't know any of this. They all think, well, I need to find an installer because that's the word that they know.
The only word
that the users know is installer. Where do I find the installer?
Yeah,
we have to do search engine optimization probably to point them in the right direction.
For Windows, this gets us to Christoph Gölke's packages, where Christoph maintains a whole pile of Windows installers for a whole pile of projects. So this is when you get down to the pie in the sky, couple of years down the road kind of thing, where what I want us to get to is I want us to have a build farm hooked into PyPI, where all people do is they just upload their source package and then PyPI takes care of the rest.
I think that's soon, a couple of years down the line.
Yeah, and this is the direction Donald wants us to go as well. and I think we have Rackspace resources now
give you all the computers
over the next few years.
You upgraded us for the Win Builder for those other packages are all.
Yeah, and so this is the direction Donald wants to take PyPI, that from a distributor point of view, that we want to take the pain out of providing all of these packages, where it just becomes a matter of, no, you get your metadata right, you upload your source package, and PyPI takes care of the rest.
Still doesn't solve the work well together problem.
The constraints extension in Metadata 2 is designed to deal with that.
But that doesn't scale when you distribute it out to every developer in the world.
No, it doesn't. But this is why I have no fear for my job anytime soon. There will always be a place for distros because there will always be a round going, we have built these and yes, they work well together.
But the end result of that, the pie in the sky, would be for a Windows user to run pip to install anything Python related, right?
So yeah, it's a really, really hard usability problem and it's not one that I don't think anyone has solved well.
Packaging.python.org, where's the source tree for that? Is that
yes.
GitHub.
That is GitHub.
GitHub repo. Just go to github.com/PyPI, PyPA, and there's lists of all the subdirections. One of them's the user.
Access control slash
authority. Python package authority.
That one's fully under control of PyPI.
Not an authority of this stuff.
And
keep saying I don't understand the fuck of this.
The trick is like on Windows up to this point, it's been up to the developers to upload the binary to PyPI. And that's how you tell users now, is like either you gotta install Visual Studio and compile it yourself, or you have to hope pip can get a binary because they've uploaded
well,
to Wheel.
No, pip could
just binaries
there. Until Wheels.
Until Wheels, but now you can't. But
right.
The point is for Guido, people are worrying about this, like Paul Moore on the PIP team is a full Windows user, and so he's always pointing out stuff. Steve Dower participates from Microsoft, so there are people on other platforms participating who do care, and it's going to be a very much a long-term thing to try to go, okay, to get Pygame for Windows user to tell them, download this GUI installer that will run pip with a nice front end is a long-term usability thing, like Cliff pointed out, but it's getting there with the point of getting the background stuff there. But people are obviously thinking about it.
And there's a lot of different viewpoints involved.
Yeah.
Well, and also one of the things that happened early on when I started getting involved with some of it was that I actually did fire up my Windows gaming box and actually try to get pip installed. Sorry, before I did that, I turned Windows Explorer and Internet Explorer back to a bunch of their default settings instead of the developer-friendly ones. And it's like, I defy anybody to take an out-of-the-box Windows machine, go run get pip, A, download it, figure out where the heck Windows put it, figure out how to get a command line there, and figure out how to actually run the thing. Because, yeah.
In other words, it's a known problem that we're still working to solve.
Oh, yeah.
Would it perhaps help if we put some pre-built installer for Windows or for macOS on the website for new users to download and then just start from there, which has all these things
if
already
we
set
if
up
we could
we
offer
for
if we could offer Christoph
do it for developers, not for new users.
The problem is it's just Python, the current installer. It doesn't contain pip.
Well, the 2.7.
Well, that's
well,
like Ruby.
They have the same problem.
Such an installer would have to include, of course, CPython, then pip, then probably a GUI for pip, then maybe some nice tools like I don't know, IPython.
And the py launcher, of course, the new one.
Yeah.
There's occasionally been talk of something like a sumo Python distribution.
Yeah, yeah. And 2.7. So in 3.4, I think we've got all the core pieces there. In that pip is there.
There's just no GUI.
Pines with no GUI, but it's at least there.
Yeah.
What does that adding GUI to end up with installers like any of the 10 or 15 distros that are there for Windows?
Yeah, I know.
So
it's
yeah,
always
there comes a point where you just have to say people are like, look, at this point, just go download ActiveState or nthought or Anaconda instead.
Yeah.
It's like, don't use the upstream one. But what we can work on is we can work on the discoverability of a bunch of those things.
Yeah.
And
specifically talking about new users. Yet, that want to get started and make it easy for them. I'm not talking about people
yep.
who then want to take their knowledge and then proceed in other directions.
Yep.
So,
So there's a bunch of discoverability stuff around Python.org, but also if we could find a way to better enable the stuff Christoph Golke's doing with his pre-built set of Windows installers.
But those are separate packages.
But this is also but yeah this is also the thing of one of the reasons why people why one of the things you get with stuff like Anaconda from CA and ActiveState and nthought stuff is that they have a bunch of modules pre-installed that they just do the you just download one installer run it. And you don't just get CPython and the standard library, you get CPython, the standard library, and a bunch of other stuff. And that is a good way to go. And that's where it helps that scientific community. Actually, another one, PythonXY is another one along those lines.
So for the scientific community, you already have these installers, so you can download them already, and you get everything installed that you need for doing scientific work. But we don't have anything yet for the Novice. Say you know, a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah, well, yeah. So like a Django install.
Maybe a Django site, or maybe do some
simple like a things documentation. The works of we had real pain with the Windows users.
I don't think it's a good idea to point a new user to a huge set of web pages with documentation for everything. They want to download something and start playing with it.
But doesn't that so much depend what they want? I mean, if you've got a novice user who wants to start playing with Python. But a novice user who wants to start playing with Django—they're two completely.
But this is potentially the thing that I think Marco is talking about is the. Does it make sense that you have a CPython plus Pygame installer, a CPython plus Django installer, the problem with this is you get into a combinatorial explosion problem, which is we already have a problem with too many download options on Python at all. It's like, do I want Python 2? Do I want Python 3? Do I want the Windows download? Do I want the Mac download? Do I want the 32-bit download? Do I want the 64-bit download? And so I think we need to start making some, we either need to start doing some much better OS detection on the website, or which
because then Windows users would all be downloading the 64-bit Python and they don't want the 64-bit Python.
Oh, okay.
Do you not? No. Is it not time to do 64-bit?
Okay.
No.
Until there are 64-bit packages for everything, they don't want the 64-bit Python.
Okay.
Software is hard.
Yeah. Software is hard, packaging a million times.
Yeah.
When I change my return flight, I'm flying out tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't want to know, Guido. You just don't want to know. Well, put it this way. I think we do it pretty much better than most other people.
I mean, no one's
just
in a better position than we are, right? There's no one who's doing it better than we are. It's like we're falling behind. We're still probably...
Who are you comparing yourself to?
Any other programming.
So most of the other dynamic languages, if you're not on Linux, you don't exist.
Yeah. We're still the friendliest, which I know is somewhat depressing, but we are still leading the pack in terms of being able to handle it.
Yes.
Does that include JavaScript?
JavaScript is potentially the only one if you can get people to understand how to get to like developer tools in Chrome or get Firebug installed to get to the console.
JavaScript again, Node.js is go Linux or go.
Yeah, they've got their own.
JS actually depends upon Python.
Yeah, there's no like.
Oh, yes, actually, this was one of my discoveries in the past year was building C extensions for Node.js relies on Python.
So yes, we're in a special situation. But we're
yep.
So we've long been in the model of we offer binary installers on python.org for the new Python 2.7 or whatever.
Yep.
And after a little while, packagers like ActiveState and all of them will eventually do their testing and pick up 2.7. Is it maybe time we stopped? Should we just point them more toward Conda, ActiveState, and the new Python 3.5 release? Python 3.5 release would then just basically source code for developers.
The redistribution license on the ActiveState stuff is very different from the python.org build stuff.
So we choose some different distribution. But I'm just saying this.
If you find something, you can find any commercial
distribution. No, so I think with the rise of containerization on Linux, we will get to the point where we're doing Linux binaries as well. But those Linux binaries will be designed to run in the container that then just needs a distro with container support. And so that gets into the whole evolution of the platform and Linux as a platform and applications in silos. That's a whole different one.
So that sounds like it's lunch and is starting to be served in 10 minutes. So we want to get first in the queue. You can only have lunch if you have a lunch token that came with your badge, otherwise you're on your own. And it's in the same room where Chief is. So let's try and be back here at 1:10 to make a start.
It's a
big Wednesday,
right?
1:10.
You could see
it's a moonshot.
I thought they had solved it in 1998.
So the problem that you were trying to solve in 1998, the problem has changed.
That may not be the case for you.
Apparently, I sent the email to Python competitors asking for people to respond.
For the rest of the world,
I'll take the one.
The trouble is,
I'm not going to be used.
I'll also buy my own.
So, the second time this way, I'm going to go to the next one. I'm
trying to change it to the bone and get some work.
Come on, I can summon a bit of week earlier.
No, I'm just going to.
No, it's Red Hat Summit is on in, there is stuff I cannot talk about that is highly relevant, but I cannot talk about it until next week. I don't know, because I haven't listened. Well, and it's one that wouldn't be on the schedule, it would be one of the other talks. Yeah.
Anything Red Hat does is go to change the world for people who have a new macro.